You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Guys, welcome back to the Best Practice Show. I'm so excited you're here because I got one of my brilliant coaches on. She's awesome. She's like so smart and she's so sweet. Angela Heffman. And we're going to be talking about an important concept, which a lot of you guys are always thinking about, like, how big do I want this practice to be and how many patients do I actually need? And it's an important piece of what you've got to figure out as a dentist, or you'll just chase all of them. And you'll think getting 300 new patients a month is a good thing, which it's not in most cases. So we're going to cover that in just a second. I'll always start with this, though. You guys, I'm having so much fun. So I don't care if you're listening on Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, whatever. Keep showing up. And this podcast, we have one goal. It's to make you better. Because when you're better, your practice gets better. And you know what happens after that? Your life gets better. So keep showing up. We're going to give you little pieces of information. So if you're a dentist and you're driving in, I mean, we're a practice coaching company. That's what we do. Our job is to push you, coach you, and help you create a better practice and a better life. So that's the whole purpose of this podcast. And if you really need help, raise your hand and we'll help you. And I'll send an amazing person like Angela to help you do all the details, because you're going to see she's brilliant. She's one of the people that keeps all of us on our toes and keeps things moving around here. But Angela, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Kirk.
Yeah. So now Angela and I have a little banter because she's like the smart one around here and I'm the idea guy. And so I kind of freak you out at times, but like Angela's so sweet. And today we're going to be talking about this whole thing. Like, how many patients do you really need? Now I'll tell you about the impetus the whole purpose or the whole thinking behind this is that I reach out to Angela and our other coaches when I'm like, okay, this is a pretty interesting problem that a dentist brings. So if you're listening, you know this. Like, I'm growing my practice. Like, I got to add another op. I got to figure out how many days of hygiene. I got to find a way to grow this practice, but I don't love all these insurances. There's a lot of these dials that you have, and you're trying to figure out, what do I do? And so, Angela, give us a little background on who you are first, and then we're going to talk about the why of this, because you talk to dentists every day, and you coach, you know, you're an amazing lead coach here, and you coach dentists on this very concept. But who is Angela Heffman?
So first and foremost, I'm a dental hygienist. That's where I met Kirk and the rest of the ACT coaching team and joined as a coach about 6 years ago. So currently I have clients of my own that I coach. And like Kirk said, we go into your office and help you work through different systems. So that's how I spend my days.
That's awesome. That's all. Now, I want to make this applicable to anybody. So if even if you're a solo dentist, if you have associates, so don't, you know, you might find me make a lot of references to keeping things simple because that's where my brain goes. But don't think for a second, well, I have like multiple locations. Same principle applies. You got to figure out how big you want your practice to be. So, Angela, I'm going to pretend to be a dentist. Maybe this might be the best. And, you know, I'm a solo GP. I got these two hygienists and I've got 3,100 patients. Like, what am I not seeing here? Like, what would be the first thing that you would say is like, kind of the pre-work for how many patients do we really need?
If you were a single practice and had 3,100 patients, I would expect that you would be exhausted. I would expect that you would be exhausted, or that your patients weren't really getting probably the standard of care that you really wanted them to, because you probably just don't have the capacity in your office to take care of that many folks.
Right.
The simple answer is usually about 1,200 to 1,500 for one doctor working 4 days a week. That's sort of the simple answer. The more comprehensive that you are in your dentistry, the lower your number can be. The more insurances that you're contracted with, sometimes that number gets on the higher side, but usually around 12 to 1500. Do we coach practices that have 700 or 800 patients and they're successful and that's all they need? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the quick, simple answer is usually around 12 to 1500.
Yeah. I love this. And we're going to take this apart. So we're going to come back.
Yeah. Now let's do the long, now let's give them the long answer.
Well, we will give them the long answer, but also too. Okay. So let's relate that to hygiene. So I'm totally with you. How does that translate to maybe the equivalent of two full-time hygienists in my practice?
Sure. So a lot of times we're referring to full-time being 4 days a week. Right. That's the most of what our practices are working. So when you hear Kirk and I say that, it's usually a 4 day a week practice. And typically that office that has 1,200 to 1,500 patients has two full-time hygienists then working 4 days a week. So the number that we think about for hygienists is usually around 750. Mm-hmm. Again, longer story is it could be anywhere between 750 to 1,000, but typically the offices that we're coaching are spending 60 minutes with their patients. They're doing perio, which means they're, you know, needing time for scaling and root planing, and also 3 and 4 month recare appointment. So that's why that number is more around 750 instead of 1,000.
Yeah. So as a hygienist, you know, the important piece of this, and I get everybody's in a different places, is you want to be able to communicate clearly with your team. A lot of times hygienists don't know what the goal is here. And so all they think is more, more, more. What a great opportunity you use a dentist to say, hey, listen, I want to create a restorative practice that does high quality stuff. And how that translates to my schedule is this number. And I'm not looking for every patient. I'm looking for the right people that fit my core values. Remember, you guys, your favorite patients, they care about the same things that you care about. It's not that other people are bad. So if you're stressed, I totally agree with you, Angela. You know, and you've got 3,100 patients. My guess is, number one, you're trying to be all things to everybody, and you know that's not going to work. And you also have to resist the urge to add ops to support the 3,100. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And Kirk, you talk about it all the time of figuring out your vision, what your goals are for your practice. You know, you can be anything that you want to be, but figuring out how to make that work for your own life is what's most important. And a lot of times you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get kind of caught up, like you said, in the more, 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 but you can have a very good life and not have to do that if you don't want to. So figuring that out first is important.
Yeah, totally. Now, even let's go into the granular aspects of hygiene. So let's just talk about this as hygiene. Let's say you have too many patients and you have too many insurances and you're like, this is not trending in the right direction. I'm just going to support what Angela said. It's not a good opportunity for you right now to build more ops to support all those people. Instead, think better. You know, how do I and my team more confidently move in this direction? And so as a hygienist, you know, every day we're going to be in a huddle and we're going to talk about people that show up and they pay, and we're giving the hygienist to be part of creating the whole future. So you know, as a hygienist, we coach this all the time. Hygienists can free up certain patients and not necessarily chase them to create a better schedule that supports the restorative. And talk about that. Like that's an important piece of it, right?
Yeah, that's a great point. If you're feeling like, oh, we need to add another hygiene day. One of the things you'll want to look at is your capacity. Like, how full is your schedule already? Because if you're measuring that and every day you have, you know, 2 hours of open time, then I would argue that you don't need another hygienist, at least not right now. First, you need to fix that problem of having all the open time. And I say now, I know we're in a global pandemic and there's a lot of openings right now in people's schedules that come up, you know, on a moment's notice. But in general, we don't want to have that open time. So making sure that there are the policies and systems in place that we're keeping the schedule tight the way it is. Do we have a short call list? Do we have people in communication systems available that we can get a hold of patients on a moment's notice to fill the schedule? Are we working on unscheduled treatment lists and recare lists and all that kind of stuff to make sure our schedule is already full? And like Kirk alluded to, making sure that the patients that we don't see, and because of their behavior that they're always canceling and no showing, aren't getting a priority in the schedule. So that's smart.
I love it. Now go back to this, because you said something really awesome that you are really good at, and you notice it's the capacity issue. Let's define that. So, and you're going to see Angela's way smarter than me, but like, let's just, again, give you some perspective if you're a dentist listening. So your capacity is the number of hours that a hygienist would have available in a month, right? Is that what you're referring to? And typically for a practice that works 4 days a week, I mean, you're going to be in the 100 to 120 hour range. Am I thinking correctly about that? Or let's just speak in general terms. It's the number of hours that you have available, right?
Right. So I always want to look at it in terms of percentages.
Okay.
So for a hygienist, we want them to be, their schedule to be full about 92% of the time.
Okay.
And for a doctor, 95% of the time. And so what that shakes out to in the matter of a week is only about 2 cancellations.
Yeah.
So only having about 2 hours open to really hit that benchmark.
Yeah. Now go into this too, because this is a really important metric for success. And I completely agree, 92% and 95%. So Ange, I totally get it. But like, I got one hygienist that's at 78%, and then I got another one at 84%. Like, what would be some of the things? Well, first of all, the number tells you a lot. So when you're at 72%, there's a story behind that number. And I think as a dentist or as a hygienist, you got to find out what these numbers are trying to tell you, because the data doesn't lie. It's trying to tell us something. What might 72% capacity be telling us?
Well, that's a great point, Kirk, that there's always a story behind the number.
Right.
Like we always hear the number, but we always just want to ask ourselves, why is that? So maybe a hygienist is really high and another one is really low for very normal reasons. Like maybe you just added that hygienist to your practice, and maybe she doesn't have a following. You know, maybe she's seeing a lot of new patients that drop off at the, you know, at the beginning. There might be reasons to explain that. But on the flip side, maybe one of the hygienists is just really amazing at filling her schedule. Maybe every time she has downtime, she is on the phone, she's calling patients from that ASAP list. So it is really good to go back and try to figure out the why.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Behind that number. So,
and you can also pair or partner with best practices. So on that very point that you're bringing up, you might have a hygienist that's consistently at 92%, and you're like, wow, what are they doing? And what a great opportunity to do some learning as a team and say, okay, what phrases are you using? Well, I use this phrase every day. It's amazing the number of practices we work with that are so highly trained, and they never do it the same way. Everybody does it differently. And so you see that all the time, right?
And Kirk, you always talk about that cancellations don't happen on the phone, right? Like they don't happen today that you all of a sudden have something going on. It starts with how much they value your appointment in your dentistry. And so we always say that cancellations start the time before. It starts with them not understanding why they need to come back or what the urgency is or how important that is. So one of the things we coach our teams to do is something called an RFR. I would like to give credit to whoever started that, but I don't even know who it was, but RFR stands for reason for return. So making sure it's clearly documented in your clinical notes the importance of why that patient needs to come next time. So if next time you're going to be taking a PA to check a tooth or a pano or looking at an implant or something like that, putting a little bit of something additional in that clinical note so that whoever is fielding that cancellation call can have something very tangible to refer back to. Like, oh, you need to change this appointment? Well, it looks like here, last time they mentioned that it was time to look at your whatever or right. follow up on this. And so it just gives them a little bit more of a, oh yeah, I do need to make that appointment. That is important. So yeah. I know that we're supposed to be talking about active patient number and not cancellations. But
again, that's what this podcast is all about. Is like, we're going to give you little tips and tricks that make your life better. And I want to go back to what you just said, because that's like one, and I don't know who originally coined that phrase, but thank you. So a reason for, and also too, if you're a dentist listening, don't overthink this. This is not like a 7-page narrative that you're going to put. It's just a real 2-sentence, simple thing. And we're going to put those in the clinical notes, right? And not mm-hmm. in the appointment yep. notes. And there's a reason why, like, give us an example of an RFR. Like if I'm a hygienist, I'm going to put in an RFR for every patient. And again, to support what you said, which is to give everyone in the practice the support they need to really have a relational practice. So when you're talking to somebody at the front about the appointment, I can speak knowledgeably about why they're coming in and why it's important that they keep their appointment, because I've got the RFR. So give us a little sample of what it, you know.
Yeah, it could be anything. You know, we hate the word watch, right. you know, because like, are we just watching it deteriorate or are we watching it fail? But we know that there's always things that we want to follow up on. So an example could be like, you know, doctor documented last time you were here that you were starting to get a crack in your upper molar, and he wanted to take a new picture at this visit to compare to see if it's time to restore that now, or, you know, it could be absolutely anything that you're noticing.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And then maybe putting in a little something about the person personally, so that you could not only talk to them about the crack in the molar, but you could also speak to the fact that, you know, they've got the wedding coming up this summer and it's something simple. So it becomes not only a clinical reason, but also a relational reason to say, hey, listen, I know you got the, it could be a while before we get you back in. Are you sure you want to cancel that appointment, if in fact they want to cancel it? So, you know, we're supporting everybody at all fronts. And so these are just little systems that we put in place. Now let's go back. I have so many questions to ask you. And because I love this stuff. So 92% in capacity. So again, we're trying to get our brains around the right metrics to, so if you're a one doctor practice and you can translate this to however many doctors you have and 2 hygienists, I'm going to try to get my practice or my schedule at 95%, and then each one of my hygienists at 92%. And then we're going to evaluate, you know, quality of patient. And there are some patients that you're better off, they're better off served in another practice. Doesn't mean they're mean people. They might just value something else. And we always joke that there are damaging dollars in dentistry, dollars that you probably shouldn't collect, but you're only collecting them just because they're giving you money. And you know this, like when you're doing the right things with the right people, magic things happen. So I'm going to try to get my capacity at 92%, then evaluate my schedule, then also put in some perio protocols, because you know how this works. The more 4,000 codes that we have in hygiene, the more restorative dentistry happens. And most dentists don't even pay attention to that, but they're like, wow, it's crazy. And I could tell you exactly where that came from, because they're getting better care, you know, in that realm too. But the perio percentages are a huge opportunity too. So that's another piece you want to look at when looking at number of patients, right?
Mm-hmm. And what Kirk and I are talking about right now is almost just like to keep the practice stable.
Right.
You know, we're not really talking about how to drastically lower an active patient count. I mean, we could certainly go there, but we just want our doctors to be very realistic and thoughtful about adding new team members, new ops, and things like that.
Yeah, you're bringing up a great point. So this isn't about kicking people out. It's not about reducing. I think the piece is this. We're big on core values. Once you figure out who you want to be and how you want to practice, and you put that flag in the ground and how we work together as a team, just stepping confidently in your direction, you're going to find your type of patients will they'll keep their appointments. They'll stay with you. You might drop a few less desirable insurances and you think, well, they're going to leave, and they don't. And over time, now, if you're a young dental student, you've got 4 decades of practice in front of you. How cool is that when you can consistently take one step in front of the other, and every single month it gets a little bit better. And you're like, wow, I'm at the 1200 and gosh, we're doing well. And now I can, maybe I'm not a multiple doc kind of doc, you know, type of thing. Here's what I'm trying to say. You figure out who you are, and there's nothing better than when you go to work and you're like, I'm serving the kind of people I want to serve. Now, you didn't know I was going to ask you about this, but like you brought up something in a team meeting. You're like, oh, the annual patient value usually tells me a lot. Yeah. So we look at a lot of metrics here at ACT Dental when we're coaching dental practices. And you brought up something so cool in a team meeting. I'm like, that's freaking brilliant. So what did you learn? And let's share that with the listeners.
Well, it actually just happened this week. Okay. Exactly. Because for the last couple of years, you know, we've been remote with a lot of our teams. Yeah. And so as coaches, we haven't had the ability to go in and like, you know, look at x-rays and see patient notes and just feel the office. So this is going to sound kind of funny, but we use Dental Intel for a lot of our team's metrics. And as a coach, when I get a brand new client, the first metric that I look at in their Dental Intel is their annual patient value, because it can tell me as a coach how comprehensive care the office is. It tells me how stressed out the office is. And so, yes, I got a new client this week. It was the first thing I looked at. Their annual patient value was very good. So it gave me hope that, okay, cool, this office is already doing, you know, great dentistry. Their team's probably not too stressed out. Right. Usually the number that we want to shoot for is around the 800 mark for your annual patient value. So if I see a team that's, you know, $250 annual patient value, I know they're exhausted.
Yeah.
They're exhausted. I know that they're not spending very much time with their patients. Team members are just constantly checking in, checking out patients. Yeah.
Now this is so good, Ange, because again, if you're listening, don't feel bad. Like if you find out, if you go back to your practice and you're like, I'm just curious, and you look at your Dental Intel and you are at 250, our whole goal is not to make you feel bad. It's a tremendous opportunity for you. Like, just think about this. If you go from 250 to 350, everybody's life is getting better. Then eventually you learn how to communicate better. You probably already have the skills, but you start to communicate better and people start saying yes because they trust you. Now you're at 550 annual patient value. Now don't get inside your head going, well, I do comprehensive dentistry. No, this is the average annual patient value. So whatever your active patient number is, it's the production allocated per patient of real active patients. So it's just a metric and it tells us a lot. And you're right, Ange, because we do have some dentists. One of them I can think of in particular in Georgia, he only has 900 patients and he's a tremendously high producer. And his fees are actually, they're high, but they're not off the charts. His dentistry is gorgeous, but he's an excellent communicator, And you can see why he doesn't work so hard. And I think right now he's working 3 days a week because he's understood, like, I don't need every patient. You know, like I'm working on these types of people and it's really quiet in his office most mornings. And like his dentistry, if I lived in that state, there's no question. And most people would say that's the person you would go to. But the secret behind his curtain is he determined early in his career, I don't want to be everyone's dentist. And here you can too. What else is the low patient? You brought up exhausted, maybe not comprehensive. Anything else that annual patient value number teaches us that would be important to know?
Well, you mentioned fees. That is a good idea. Yes. To make sure that you're on par with where you want to be. We do run analysis for our clients and we'll find often that they're actually really low. And I hate to say this because sometimes they're just aligning them with insurance reimbursement, right, which is, don't do that. we want you to be reimbursed for what you're doing. Not just because of what insurance tells you that you're, you're valued at. So
that is so important because, and again, you're just looking at all of these things. There's all these little dials that you can play with that make your life better. But I think the important thing is before you play with the dials, just have some really good thinking. It's not always about more. And we do see this often because, and we get practices from all over the spectrum. I mean, some of them are doing incredible dentistry. Some of them just getting started, and all of them have opportunity, like all of them. And you know, nobody needs to be perfect, but as they tweak it, and I'll just go back to the whole purpose of this podcast is like, figure out the number that you need. And once you're confident, you don't listen to all the chatter in the world of like 400 new patients, because I'm telling you guys, you're going to get really confident and you're going to love where you're going. And then two blocks down, somebody's going to open up the Taj Mahal and have 24 hours where they're seeing patients, and you're going to freak out a little bit because they have everything. And what you have to do is stick to your guns, and you're going to be okay. I promise you, you're going to be okay. But part of being okay is knowing, hey, we're on track. I'm looking at the numbers. I'm talking to my team, and we're where we need to be. We're right where we need to be. And there's, you guys, the other thing too is there's a shortage of dentists in the world. Like, and the aging population is exponential in the world. So a lot of you think dentistry is going to die up. No, it's not. It's not. There's going to be more dentistry to do ever. And we're going to need you. But you're going to need yourself and a great coach like Angela to keep you on the rails so you don't go crazy. So, Ange, any last thoughts on like how many patients do I need as a dentist? Like any last thoughts?
I just want to throw one other thing out there that you reminded me of when you mentioned new patients. And that is that we're always going to face attrition. And attrition, we expect to be around 15% in a normal office. I shouldn't use the word normal, but it's from moving, you know, patients getting relocated or, you know, passing away. There's just natural reasons why people will move out of your office. So just keep that in mind when you're thinking about your active patient count too. If you have around 1500 patients, then that in the, and you have 15% attrition just naturally in your practice, then you're going to probably want about 20 new patients a month.
Yeah.
Just to kind of keep that number stable. So
absolutely.
I thought I'd mention that.
I know. And so we talk about a lot of things in our meetings and with our clients on Inner Circle. And if you haven't joined Inner Circle, you got to join Inner Circle because we get to talk about all this stuff. So Angela's bringing up a great point. You can expect attrition to be about 15% because these people are going to move. They're going to pass away. It's part of a regular practice. And then another thing that you might want to consider before you go immediately to new patients and Facebook ads is you have a ton of unscheduled active patients, like great people that are active patients. Now, if you pull that number, I'm warning you, you're going to have chest pain because you're going to be like, oh my gosh, you're going to see the number of people that are active patients that are not tethered to the practice with an appointment for the future. And this is another dial to look at. Would you agree, Ange? Like figuring out?
I'm just realizing that maybe we should have pointed this out like 20 minutes ago, is that when Kirk and I talk about what active patient count is, usually we're talking about the last 18 months of time.
Right, right.
So we're not talking about like your all-time patient list. We're talking about just patients that have been there within the last 18 months. And yeah, there's usually a lot of patients that we're not pre-scheduling and they're active, but they maybe don't have another appointment. So that's a great report to look at.
Yeah, another great tip for you guys, surround yourself with people like Angela. They just make your life better because they keep you on the rails. Now, I know you got to leave. You're going to go to the Chicago Midwinter meeting. I'm so jealous because you guys are all like taking great education. So, Ange, thank you so much for being on today. If you're a dentist listening, you want to figure this stuff out, don't try to, I'm going to encourage you to take a look at it. You're going to see all the show notes in here. Everything Ange and I talk about, our writers are going to put that all together. You can flip up to the show notes and you can see and, you know, review what was talked about. But if you struggle with this, raise your hand. We're so happy to help you figure out this thing. And, you know, some of you are like, well, I don't want to call you guys. You guys are coaches. You're going to make me do coach. No, we're a help first organization. Heck, if we help you figure out how many patients, that is a win for us. I have a lot of people that come to our seminars and they're like, dude, I never even called you or never even, but I changed my hours, changed my life. That is a win for all of us. It's a win for you. It's a win for your team. It's a win for your family. It's a win for your patients. And that's what this is all about. So stick around, Ange, just for a second. Thank you guys for joining us on the Best Practices Show. Hey, if you enjoyed today, do us a favor. Just hit the share button. Share this podcast with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for things you guys want to see. And give us a review, because here's what the reviews do. The reviews help us find other people like you. That's so cool. Like, we want to hang out with your friends, and we want them to hang out with us and keep showing up, because again, every single time you show up, we're going to make you a little bit better. So hope you guys enjoyed it. Have a great rest of your day. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.